I need a beer. Hello? I need a beer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. CraftBeer.com presents live from the 2010 Great American Beer Festival. Street foods and craft beers featuring Hosea Rosenberg, Top Chef Season 5 winner, and Street Chef. And Adam Avery, brewmaster and owner of Avery Brewing in Boulder, Colorado.
Woo! I do.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Carolyn Smigalski, the Beer Fox, the editor and writer
Can
of Beer and
me
Brewing
at BellaOnline.com.
Sorry, I've been drinking too much, I guess, right? I'm here on behalf of the Brewers Association, the trade association for craft brewers nationwide. The Brewers Association also presents craftbeer.com, the World Beer Cup and Savor, an American craft beer and food experience in Washington, D.C. This is the 29th annual Great American Beer Festival, and there are 2,200 beers out on that floor for you guys to drink.
Yay!
Come on, they didn't hear you out there. Podcasts of these presentations will be available at craftbeer.com. Our chef today is so full of awards, he needs a truck to carry them all. That must be why he's taking it to the street in his mobile dining experience, which I'll let him tell you about. He was named Best Chef of Denver at the International Wine Festival in 2006 and 2007.
Wine.
Seven-time undefeated winner of the Flatiron Chef Competition. Guest chef at the James Beard House in 2007. And most recently was named Top Chef of Season 5 on cable TV's Bravo channel. He's got a degree in engineering physics. But found himself among the stars after working for Wolfgang Puck, Kevin Taylor, Sean Janssen, Dave Query. He's a supporter of Boulder County AIDS Project, Share Our Strength, Chefs Up Front, March of Dimes, Colorado Music Festival, Operation Frontline, and the American Cancer Society. Sustainable agriculture, uses organic whenever possible, and here to dazzle your taste buds with street foods and craft beer is Top Chef Hosea Rosenberg.
Wow, what a crowd. I hope I can live up to that introduction. Oh, there's
the
more.
The second half of the street elite has been drinking beer since he's been in diapers and moved to from Decatur to the mountains of Colorado in search of rock climbing and great skiing. With his European attitude, he soon discovered Boulder was filled with flavorful beer, and he wanted to be a part of it. He opened up Avery Brewing Company in 1993 with an attitude for the extreme. As a member of the illustrious Bad Boy Brett Pack, he has brewed a ton of wild ales, developed methods for cellaring and aging beers, and taken Avery beers to the forefront of American craft brewing. His portfolio reads like a who's who for the most discerning craft beer lover, including my personal favorites, Mephistopheles Stout, Brett Reverend, Maharaja, Meph Addict, Stranahan Barrel Age Czar, Collaboration Not Litigation Ale, Avery 17th Anniversary Ale. Wow, may I present to you from Avery Brewing Company, Adam Avery.
We love you.
I love you too.
Love this guy.
I've known Hosea for a long time. I've been to his restaurant for, I don't know, going there for 10, 12 years. And when he got back from Top Chef, his head wouldn't fit through the fucking door, man. It was ridiculous. He wasn't cooking for like months. I'd come in and say, hey, where's Hosea? Oh, he's on the road.
He's doing a demo.
He's in New York. He's doing something else. But
he's drinking beer in the back.
My favorite restaurant in town, and I don't say that because he's standing next to me. This guy is a true master with the griddle, with the stove, with a grill.
With the portable burner.
It looks like that's the way you're going tonight. So, pleasure to be here, buddy.
Glad to have you along for the ride, my man.
It's your show. Let's go.
How you guys doing? I didn't hear you. How you doing? I've always wanted to do that. All right. So we're going to start with...
Are we talking about the beers first?
Let's tell them what the beer is, because they already got the beer, and then I'm going to make the food.
Which one did you guys get first? I don't even know. IPA? IPA. Okay, so she listed off a bunch of beers that we do. We're known for, like, crazy stuff. But we also make some really good, you know, down-to-earth beers. We started making this beer back in 1996. This is our IPA. Tons of hops, lots of bitterness, 69 IBUs. So it's aggressive, very, very dry style. Goes really, really well with a lot of different foods. I don't even know. What are we pairing it up with?
We're doing a ceviche here.
With the fish. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be awesome.
Because what makes you think of raw fish more than beer, right?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's our IPA. You know, down to earth, sessionable, 6.5%. That's our beer.
So with the beer.
Start cooking.
We got some.
Jose, I'm hungry. Hurry.
This is rockfish, Pacific rockfish. Ceviche is so broad. You can do ceviche with just about anything. You can do it with shark, with scallops, with, I don't know, vegetables. But today we've got some very fresh raw fish. And I don't know how many of you guys have made ceviches at home before. Okay, good. So I'm teaching a few things.
I only make beer. I don't know how to cook.
The whole point of doing ceviche is we're taking this raw fish and we're not actually cooking it. We're using acid to cook it. So in this case, I'm using lime juice. A lot of lime juice. Get that. Get in there, buddy. So I'm also going to put a little pinch of salt. So the lime juice and the salt draw out the water, the natural water in the fish, and it cooks it. And you can see right away the fish starts turning opaque. 3 hours for any white fish, any fish that might, you know, like a halibut or something that you might want to cook through when you're cooking it. If you're doing something like tuna or salmon, a ceviche with something that might be served as sushi, I'll do it for like 3 minutes and then serve it. So this fish, I like to cure a little bit more. So I go 3 hours. And so we're going to let that sit and the magic of television. It'll be ready in 3 hours. Then I'm going to mix it with some flavors I think are going to go well with this beer. So I've got some fresh grapefruit, some Rocky Ford cantaloupe from here in Colorado. Yeah! Some cucumbers, fresh cucumbers from the farmer's market. Jalapeno, you guys like it spicy? Do you like it really spicy? All right, I got some Thai chilies here. We're going to throw some Thai chilies in there.
Careful.
Careful about what?
Careful.
So we're going to throw a little Thai chili in here, and we're going to make this ceviche a little bit Thai style in flavor. So I've got some cilantro, and I like to chop the cilantro up right at the last minute to release all those flavors. And one thing that people don't always know about cilantro is that the stem of the cilantro is actually good. You can use it. Don't use the woody bottom parts, but the middle stem has a lot of flavor and nice crunch. We'll throw a little cilantro in there. Some fresh mint. Pretty soon you'll be cheering like that for all the food. And a little basil. I think I forgot my basil. We're going to pretend this is basil.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the one you're getting. And then a little bit of sugar to bring out some of the sweetness in this fruit. Some more lime juice, because we got to add more lime juice for the fruit as well.
Let me at least do something.
Here, squeeze that one. And then the secret ingredient. This is something that's so delicious, adds such a complex flavor to food, but if you put too much of it in there, bad stuff. Are you familiar with fish sauce? Smell that. It smells like...
I think I got a new beer coming out.
It smells like bad feet. But it adds a nice pungency to the dish, a nice roundness, and a saltiness you don't get from normal salt. Used in a lot of Thai cuisine. So, let's give it a taste. So we got a little heat, we got a little sweet, we got some herbaceousness. Sure, whatever. Then we're gonna add this fish. Sure, that's So the fish has a lot of the acid in it, the lime juice. It's balanced with the fish sauce, the herbs, the heat of the chili. Should go really well with the beer.
Wait, you got the wrong beer.
We doing the wrong beer?
Oh,
I'm drinking the wrong beer. Yeah, that didn't taste right. That's more like it. Talk to them.
Do those guys get to eat?
You're going to be getting samples in a minute. I'm too fast for my prep cooks back there. So.
Oh, really?
They should be coming out any minute with the ceviche for you. So I'm going to clean up my board here for a second. I would ask the audience questions, but I can't hear. I can barely hear you. So.
What? Yeah, exactly. I think we should hear more about your career, man. I mean, I met you, 10, 12 years ago at Jack's. And then, how'd you get with Dave Query? Dave Query's a big restaurateur up in Boulder, a great friend of mine, and he owns, 100 restaurants or something. But how did you get up with him, and where you been?
Well, before I worked with Dave, I was working in Boulder at a couple different restaurants. I used to work here in Denver for Kevin Taylor. And when I was working in Boulder, Dave was like the envy of all restaurateurs. Dave Query owns Lola, Jack's Fish House, Zolo, we got the Happy Noodle House, we got West End Tavern, Centro, an amazing array of restaurants. They're all homegrown, and they're some of the best restaurants you can find in the state. So not only did the employees seem like they had the most fun, the food is really good, and he was running a successful business, which, as much as I love to cook, a lot of cooks that don't know how to make money, and at the end of the day, you still got to make a profit or you're homeless. So I wanted to get with the guy who seemed to be doing the best. So I learned a lot working for Dave. I've been with him for 6 years, and he's been a great mentor for me and gave me the chance to go be an idiot on TV and make a fool of myself and all that stuff. So it was a great run.
How many people saw this guy on TV? Dude, you got such a fan club, man. You're on fire.
Hey, look, here
dude.
Comes the ceviche.
You're on fire.
Yeah. So we got little chips to go with it. You get a little crunch with your fish. And hopefully you guys enjoy the pairing. Hopefully you think it's a good idea.
Do you have any anecdotes about Top Chef?
I got lots of funny anecdotes about Top Chef.
I wonder
if they'll be able to hear my stories. But I got a quick story about Top Chef. He wanted me to tell a little story. So you guys all remember Fabio on my season, right? Do you guys remember a guy named Danny? He got kicked off kind of early. He's from New York. Big guy. Long Island. Yeah, he wasn't on the show much, but he had gold chains, football player, like really tough guy. We're all sitting around talking about pasta one day, and Fabio starts telling us, "You don't mix the chicken with the pasta. I don't understand you Americans. No chicken with the pasta." And Danny goes, "Well, at my restaurant, we make a ravioli, and we take the dock meat, and we put it in the ravioli." And Fabio just stares at him. He says, "What the hell are you talking about?" Because, the dock meat, we make these raviolis. Fabio looks at him and goes, "You make ravioli with dog meat?" Yeah, I guess he had to be there. But they start arguing. He's like, "No, doc. He's like, "Why you cook with a dog, man? I don't understand. You guys make me sick. I'm out of this country." I guess, you're laughing. It was so funny when I was there. Trust me. You like the ceviche? Is it good? Is it working well with the beer? Do you think? So a big part of this beer, the citrus, the grapefruit, a little bit
perfect.
Of the sweetness.
Hey, so when you were with all those chefs on Top Chef, did they drink a lot of beer, or were they winos? I mean, were they liquor guys? I mean, what did they drink?
So when we were on the show, I don't know how much you guys know about it, but we were stuck either filming back at our house or in this area called the stew room. And the stew room is that little room where you sit in the chairs and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait some more. And the only thing you can do there is talk to each other and drink. And most of the time, all they gave us was beer, because anytime they gave us hard alcohol, the shit would hit the fan. So, we tried to give it a beer.
Nice.
It was Brooklyn Brewing Company.
Well, I mean, if you got to drink that Garrett's beer, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
We had to
suffer through that.
We didn't get any good Colorado beers up in there, but we did the best we could. So a lot of drinking went on, a lot of shenanigans.
Right.
People kissed. It was weird. Stuff
nice.
Happened. So we're going to start moving on to our next dish. And I didn't tell the fire department I was going to do this, but this time of year or all throughout the summer, I like smoke. And this is something you can do at home. You can create a little smoker in your kitchen. All you need is a pan. One thing that actually works really well is a wok. If you have a wok that has a screen, take a couple wood chips and put them in the bottom of the wok, high heat, wait till the smoke starts coming up.
What kind of wood is that?
That is hickory chips. And then, and of course, this is the other thing I forgot because I was drinking beer earlier. You need something with perforations. If you have a screen or a pan with holes in it, all you got to do, bear with me, pretend there's holes in this. You stick that on top, and then the smoke will go through. Put a little lid on it, and what you do is you end up smoking your corn. So I'm doing a smoked corn soup. So we're going to smoke our corn, and we're also going to smoke our onions. So we're going to let these smoke away for a minute. Okay, it's good. So now that your onions and corn are nicely smoked, what we're going to do is we're going to take the onions. Will you hand me that big pot? We're going to put them in a pot with a little bit of oil, a little bit of garlic. We're going to start sweating the onions, these smoked onions.
Sweating the onions? What do you mean, sweat?
Sweating the onions means to cook them over like a medium to low heat, and you don't want to get color, but you want them to get clear. You want to
so
release
no caramelization.
The juices.
No.
Not caramelization, just soften them. Then we take our smoked corn, and this is the best way to remove corn from the cob. Hold it upright, even cuts down. Get all the kernels off there. Yeah, once you stir it. Whatever feels best in your hand, sir. So, a lot of times people just throw these away, but there's so much flavor and so much juice still left in the cob. So what I like to do is just put them in some water, and you can make a corn stock. And what you can do is if you have a lot of corn, you're cutting a lot of corn, put it in water, let it cook for a couple hours at a low simmer, and then you can take the cobs out, and you've got this corn-flavored water. You can reduce it a lot if you want to. You can add it to soups, to other recipes, anything that has like a vegetable flavor. It's just a great thing. So we're going to let our corn stock simmer for a while. Once these onions and garlics get sweated.
Is that a little hot in there or not? Is it good?
It's perfect.
Okay, all right.
We like heat.
Trying to give Top Chef here little tips.
So yeah. As this sweats, then we're going to add some spice.
Jose, I think it's a little hot. It's a little hot. Are you sure?
It's okay, buddy.
Are you sure? Okay.
I know you work in a cold room.
Right.
You know,
right,
all
yeah.
the barrels are cold. Everything's really still and quiet. In kitchens, we like action. We like heat.
Right.
We like energy.
That's the best part about this guy is like, before he became rich and famous, I actually could watch
famous.
You. I could watch
just
you sweat
famous.
In the back. Walk into Jack's Fish House, walk to the back. He's back there sweating his ass off. I'm like, what am I eating tonight? And he would always say, go across the street to Chipotle.
I would say that.
Classic answer. And it's really bad because when people ask me, like, when they come up to the little tent that we have, they're like, what's your favorite or what should I drink tonight? I always say, you got to make the decision. And basically that's what he always says to me is like, don't be an idiot. Just order off the menu.
Look at the menu, whatever looks good to you.
Right, I know, yeah.
It'll be great. So we're taking a little bit of cayenne pepper. A lot of cumin. Cumin and corn are it's like my favorite combination in the world. Red chili powder. We're toasting the spices, releasing some of the oils, getting it really aromatic.
Now remember these spices that he's using because like the beer that we've got paired with this, did you guys get the next beer? Salvation has a nice spice component to it as well. There's no real spices in it, but the yeast strain that we use really creates a lot of these esters and phenols that really drives a lot of like nutmeggy, kind of cinnamony kind of flavors. I think it's going to marry up really nice. I hope.
I love the
as
way
long
you,
as, he, as long as he does a good job.
I love the way he says phenols.
Phenols.
So after we toasted out the spices, we're going to stir in the smoked corn kernels. You want to saute those up a little bit. This is the perfect dish this time of year. It's Colorado corn. This is Olathe sweet corn. So good. It's like candy corn. Here, why don't you take two towels. Pour just enough of that corn stock over just to cover that. Keep going, a little more. Don't be scared. So just enough, that's perfect. Just enough of that liquid to cover the kernels. If you put too much, your soup's going to end up too thin.
Top Chef just said I did something perfect. That's awesome. Thanks, man.
You pour perfectly.
Thanks, man.
You're so good. So we're going to simmer this for about a half an hour. You can cook it longer if you want to. It's not going to hurt it. But you want to cook it long enough to really break down those corn kernels, release all the starches, make it really soft because we're going to blend it. And we want it to be smooth. We don't want like little bits of the skin from the kernels and all these little chunks in there. So we're going to cook that for a little while. We're going to add a little salt. Did it just get brighter in here?
No, I'm drunk, so I don't know.
We're going to add a little fresh cracked pepper. Stir it up. Stir it up, buddy. Little lime juice. The lime is great with the corn. Just a little bit. You don't want it to be sour, but it wakes it up. It makes the corn really fresh tasting. What else is going in here? If you like it a little hotter, you can add a little bit of jalapeno. You don't want to add too much because it'll turn the soup green. So just be careful how much you put in there. And then I'm missing one of my... The honey's for later, honey. Here it is.
Good friend. Really good friend.
A little oregano. And a little bit of thyme. I've got it mixed up in here. A little thyme and oregano. You don't want too much. Again, you don't want to discolor the soup, but it adds a nice herbal note to it. Just let that simmer away. And once it's cooked for about a half an hour, you turn the heat way down.
Oh, what's that?
That's heavy cream. And just a little bit, just a touch. You can keep adding cream and cream and cream, but then you end up with like a really heavy cream. Yeah, stir it. If you add just a touch, it kind of gives it a body, a nice mouthfeel. It's creamy. But it's not too heavy. It won't be too fatty. It won't be too rich. It just gives it a little bit more luxuriousness. Right?
This smells terrific.
So now I've got a big job for you.
Okay.
You got to blend that.
Oh, I can't use heavy machinery. I'm drunk.
You see that?
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. That's on and off.
Put that in there.
Put that all in there. Everybody watch Adam Avery make a mess of himself. Nice job. Make sure the lid is on tight before you turn it on. Whenever you're blending very hot liquids, I don't know if you've ever done this before, the air inside expands because it's hot. If the lid's not on tight, the lid can blow and all this hot soup can go in your face. So whenever you're blending hot liquids, make sure that lid is on tight. You see, they have these little vents to let the steam out because the steam is expanding.
That kind of burned my hand. Do you have insurance?
Do you want me to kiss it?
Do you have insurance? Yeah. Is that good? Did I blend it enough?
More. It needs to be smooth.
Okay, hold on.
So do it for a while. So another flavor component I want for this soup is some ancho chili. So we're going to take these chilies, remove the stem, shake out the seeds. And if you like, you could toast these just really quickly over an open flame, get a little more flavor out of it. I'll put these in a bucket. We're going to add some hot water. This is going to soften the chilies. You need to do this and let it soak for about 20 minutes. Once these have soaked, this is what the honey's for. And since you already dirtied up my blender, I can only do one thing in there. But you take these hydrated ancho chilies, put them in the blender, and turn the blender on. And you just add a little bit of water until it starts to spin, starts to puree. Add a little bit of honey and taste it. So what we're going to do is drizzle this corn soup with a little bit of ancho honey and an avocado salsa, also known as guacamole. We're in Colorado. I think you guys all know how to make a good guacamole. I'm not going to demo this part of the recipe. This soup can be served hot or cold. Today we're serving it cold. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty warm up here right now.
Yeah, you want it cool?
This is a chilled smoked corn soup, ancho honey, and avocado. You can serve it hot, you can serve it cold, and the garnish can be anything. I like putting lobster, shrimp, crab meat, avocado, more corn, like little kernels. You can garnish it with just some chopped up corn, some fresh herbs.
So what are we going to eat, that or we're going to eat that?
We should eat that.
I want to taste it. Can we have two up here?
I don't think you blended it right, so I want to eat the one that...
One thing.
That we made earlier.
One thing to do. Wait, I put the water in.
You did.
Remember
you
that?
Did a really good job. It was actually stock that you put in there.
So can I get a job at Jack's?
You got to talk to Dave about that one.
Really? Can you put in a good word for me?
I don't have the authority to...
You can't? Well, you're never there.
It's like if I asked Ted if I should work at Avery.
You should. We'd love to have you there. We'd love it.
So I don't know if you guys know about Street Chefs. We have this mobile food restaurant. Food restaurant, like it's any other kind of restaurant, right? We have a mobile restaurant, and it's an Airstream trailer, 23-foot Airstream with a full kitchen inside. We're parked right outside on 14th Street. If you guys want to try some more of my food, just go out there when you're good and sauced and you need a bite. We got some homemade tater tots out there, banh mi sandwiches, pulled pork. We got all kinds of good stuff out there. 14th between, what are the streets right here? California and Stout. Stout. How did I forget that? 14th and Stout. Right over there, big Airstream trailer. Go have some food. Tell your friends. This is our first trip to Denver. Hey, let's hear. They want to hear about the beer. How's the beer and the food pairing going? Good? All right.
I failed to mention in the first tasting, or the first pairing, I really like that, how the mint, hopefully you guys got as much mint as I did in what we had up here, but the mint and the hops went really well together with the IPA. So on the first pairing, unbelievable. So this one, there's that really nice spiciness that you put in there. There's cayenne pepper. I mean, what else do you have in there? What were the other spices?
There's cumin, the chili powder, right. That ancho.
So I think that by having this, this cinnamon kind of nutmeggy kind of flavors that you get from the Salvation really adds to it. But then if you smell our beer, the Salvation, there's really these really like light stone fruits on the nose, like peaches and apricots, which is what I really like about the beer. It's a really weird dichotomy beer because it smells so light, and yet the spiciness of it is almost overwhelming sometimes. But I think that it stands up well to the food, and that's the thing about, when we do beer dinners, do food pairings, it's like I always want to make sure that the beer can stand up to what the chef is preparing. And Hosea loves a lot of spice. He always goes big, and I always like to have pairings with guys that love big, big food because we make big, big beer. So I think it's a great pairing. I don't know. Did you pick it, or who picked this one?
Well, I gave Ted the recipe, boy Ted over there decided. But
Ted, kudos, baby, kudos.
Everybody give a big hand to Ted for choosing the beer.
Right on. National Sales Director, Avery Brewing Company,
they
right there.
They can't clap. They all have soup in their hands.
Yo, yeah. What else we got? Are we done? No way.
Do you guys got any questions over there? Anybody that could hear? We're going to be out there till 10 o'clock, serving food right out that door. So come eat. I'd love to share some tots with you. That was the ancho honey. Yeah, that was these things.
Me and these three girls want to know if you will come over to have dinner.
When I'm coming over for dinner?
Yeah.
Who's cooking?
Three girls. Say yes.
Say yes.
Yes. It's you and two girls, so I'm going to say no. Oh, three girls. Yeah, I'm there.
Hey, Hosea, besides soy sauce, what is a good alternative for fish sauce?
If you don't want the fish sauce, you can put soy sauce in there.
Other than that?
Just a little bit. Don't put too much or it's just going to taste like soy. Just splash.
Do you want to have a chugging contest?
With these?
A pint.
I don't have any beer up here. I'm done with my demo, sure.
So
since we were using the magic of television, how long do you normally smoke the corn for?
It depends. That's a really good question. It really depends on how strong your smoker is, like how much smoke's coming out, and how much corn you're putting in there. I mean, I'm not trying to be a wise ass, but I smoke it till it's smoky, you know what I mean? But on average, I'd say probably 10, 15 minutes. So it's a raw vegetable. It's not like meat where you need to smoke it for hours and hours and hours. If you leave it on the smoker too long, it gets a little bit bitter. So it should start to get a little bit of a, like a brown, like haze on the outside, just a little like a glaze almost. And then you know it's right. You can take a bite. It tastes smoky. It's good.
This is a loaded question for Top Chef. Who is actually better, Fabio or Stefan, in your opinion?
Where's the microphone? I don't see who asked that question. Okay, there he is. Now, they're both great guys. Up here, doing a demo like this, Fabio is better than any of us. He entertains people. He's super charming. His accent, he's funny. When it comes down to eating the food, I liked Stefan's food a lot more than Fabio's. Like, a lot more. I'm sorry.
Is there a dish you wish you could have cooked for the judges that you did not?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like...
Hey, he won. Who cares, right?
Exactly.
Hey.
There's a lot of things
fucking
I would have...
kicked ass. He's my boy.
A lot of dishes I would have liked to do. A lot of things I would have done differently. It happens so fast around that show. You make these split-second decisions. One thing that people don't think about is the shopping aspect. Like, I was just watching the finale this week. You get 30 minutes in the store. That determines your dish. It doesn't matter what you do in the kitchen. You have 30 minutes, and those are the ingredients you have. If you're like, oh, man, if I just done this lobster dish, it's like, well, I don't have lobster, you know? So the shopping is just as important as what you end up doing in the kitchen because that's all you got to work with, you know? Like, I forgot the little screen. I wouldn't actually have been able to smoke the corn for you. If we're on TV right now, it wouldn't have been our smoked corn soup. It should be corn soup, which would still be good, but it wouldn't be what I aimed to make. So those decisions, so many decisions that happen in the moment affect the final outcome, and it's not always aired on TV what really happened. So.
Are either of you going out tonight?
Are we? I guess so.
Where?
Yeah, I'm with Adam. I don't know. Wherever he's going.
Hey, this is going to sound a little ridiculous, and refuse to answer it if you choose, but I'm in the market for a new grill right now, and I want something that's incredibly versatile but also affordable. I don't want to spend, you know, $2,000 on a Viking outdoor grill, that kind of thing. But I want to be able to smoke low and slow, but I also want to be able to get good sear on a steak or something like that if I need to get it up to 600 or 700 degrees. What would you go with in the $400 to $500 range or not?
I feel like you already know the answer. Are you a rep for a grill company? I was just talking to some girls outside that work for Weber, so I guess I'm going to say Weber. I don't know.
Good answer. Good answer.
I have a 20-year-old smoker grill in my backyard that I use. It's New Braunfels is the brand. It's from Texas. And that thing works like a charm. You can come over and borrow mine anytime. You got to drive to Boulder, though. It's wood. We actually feed it with wood. And you got to watch that sucker. You got to keep it going the whole time.
What's the appeal of street food for you?
I'm sorry, what's that?
What's the appeal of street food for you?
You know, if a lot of people ask that, if you ask a lot of people out there what their last meal would be, it's not usually a fine dining experience. It's not usually Danielle Ballou or going to Chicago to Alinea. A lot of times it's that hot dog I had in New York City the first time I was there, or that chili feast, Philly cheesesteak. I'm tripping over my words, man.
Keep drinking. Just keep drinking.
So the appeal to me is it's from the people for the people. And I love that about street food. It's something that, like, everybody gets, everybody likes. Usually got $5 on you. You can afford to eat it. And it's kind of fun cooking outside and being at places like this. I prepped all morning. I showed up with my kitchen. I rolled in here to do this demo. I'm working right now. It's great.
So I work for Daniel Boulud.
Oh, do you?
As a beer sommelier. And for me, like, my job is constantly pairing beer with food.
Right.
And for me, beverage with food is very important. On Top Chef, there's not really a beverage element.
No.
And I wondered, as a chef, how important is it to you to think about these pairings?
It's really important. I think that would be a really interesting element for them to incorporate into a show, because in a restaurant setting, especially a fine dine setting, that's so important. Because people are imbibing, and they want to have, it's an elevated experience where you get the beverage with the food. And that's obviously something I can't do out on the street. What?
Bacon soup.
Bacon soup, yeah. It's smoked corn soup. No bacon in it. So, I do. I think it's really important. I'm not done with her yet. I think it's critical for a chef, a seasoned chef, to understand wine and beer and how it relates to the food, and have a couple favorites, things that you can, like, go-tos. You know, I've got a few go-to wines, go-to beers that, like, when I'm in a pinch, so I'm not a wine expert. I used to brew beer. I used to know a lot more about beer than I do these days, I feel like. But I think it's absolutely critical that you know how to pair. Are you friends with Jeff Wanzak? He used to be my roommate.
Yeah, he manages at the restaurant where I'm a manager.
So you're DBGB.
And,
yeah. And one of the chefs there used to work for me at Jack's.
Jim?
No, Michael.
Michael Aylard.
Yeah, he used to be one of my line cooks.
He's one of my really good friends.
It's like we were meant to be friends. We were meant to work together one day. Hey, we'll cook together later.
There's a question. Do you have these recipes online someplace that people can go to? Or do they have to memorize it as you...
I hope you're taking notes.
Because you'll never make it again, right?
Actually, I do have the corn soup on my website, chefhosea.com. The ceviche, I don't. It's something I kind of threw together with the beer in mind. But it's something that you kind of got to make by taste. I never like writing recipes for a ceviche because it depends on the fish. It depends on how ripe the fruit is, how juicy your limes are. Like, that's something I like to kind of make with your palate, not by a book.
Are you going to do a cookbook?
Eventually. I haven't done it yet. It's a good question, though. I should have a cookbook.
You definitely should have one. Come on, man.
All right, I'll work on it.
Share the secrets.
I'm working on it.
Share the magic. Share the magic. Question.
Legitimate question. I got a friend who has been thinking about starting a food truck. Could you say two things to look out for and two things to definitely do?
The first thing to do is your research. If you know where you're going to do the food truck, you got to figure out where you're going to be before you open this thing. Like, it's, you can live or die by the corner you're on. And so, like, for us, for instance, in Boulder, the city's really tight about us. We can't be downtown. We cannot serve food anywhere in the downtown business district. So we're doing a lot of private events, big events like this, parties, catering, that kind of thing. We fully wanted to be on the streets of Boulder, and that kind of threw a little wrench in our cogs, you know. One thing I wouldn't do is spend too much money to get it open. Street food by nature is inexpensive. Your revenue stream is very low. I'm working just as hard as I did running a high-end restaurant, but our revenue stream is much less. We don't have alcohol sales. We don't have service. So it's all what happens in the window, and people are paying $5, $6, $7 for a meal. And so we have to be fast, you know, and that money, it's like, I equate it to like a breakfast restaurant, you know, eggs are cheap, dishes are all under $10, you're working your ass off, but instead of charging $30 for an entree, you're charging $8, and so you have to sell four of those to make the same amount of money as one dish. So all that overhead, it takes a lot longer to pay off. So if you go in inexpensive, then you can buy more trucks and take over the world.
Okay.
I think we got to wrap it up. So thank you guys.
We're going to
so
wrap
much.
Up. Let's give a big, huge hand to Adam Avery from Avery Brewing Company, Top Cheese and Chef Jose Rosenberg, our assistants from the Culinary Arts Program at Johnson & Wales, our AV artists, and you, ladies and gentlemen, have a great time, drink a lot of beer, and have fun.
You too.
You too.